This fourth deep dive of March 2023 is from Rogers and colleagues. Associations between trajectories of obesity prevalence in English primary school children and the UK soft drinks industry levy, an interrupted time series analysis of surveillance data, published in the journal PLOS Medicine in 2023. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. In the public health conversation, there is one word you may consistently hear: policy. But what meaning does this word hold? Broadly, policy may be defined as a framework or a set of rules to guide decisions and outcomes. Thus defined, a policy is not binding law. To become law in the United Kingdom requires that the policy is proposed in legislation and enshrined in a relevant Act of Parliament, i.e., it has been approved by the government. And here is where we reach perhaps the most important battleground for public health nutrition. To enact policy as statutory law requires the government to have the political will to step in. For public health nutrition, the evidence is now unequivocal that the major issue is the deliberate fostering of a food environment that promotes poor diets and ill health. However, the prevailing political and economic model in certain developed countries, of which the UK is one, is predicated on government not intervening in the private sector through legislation or regulation, and instead emphasizing the social responsibility of the individual to navigate the environment. To maintain that this position is tenable requires evidence that the food industry and its ancillaries, for example marketing and advertising, would exhibit corporate responsibility and voluntarily mitigate against commercial determinants of health. In fact, the available evidence from the UK from voluntary opt-in policy schemes shows that these policies are doomed to failure. The food industry made little effort to reduce calorie content or improve the healthfulness of foods. Then finally, public health nutrition in the UK eked out a hard-fought win. In 2016, a new policy was announced, the Soft Drinks Industry Levy, a tax on the food industry for sugar-sweetened beverages that was enacted in Section 36A of the Finance Act 2017. So, has the, quote, sugar tax been successful? The study. The study analysed trends in childhood overweight obesity rates over the period from before to after the introduction of the Soft Drinks Industry Levy, using a method of analysis known as interrupted time series analysis. We'll discuss this below under the Geek Box. Data on children's weight was derived from the National Child Measurement Programme, which collects annual data on height and weight in around a million UK school children aged between 4 to 5 years and 10 to 11 years respectively. The analysis was based on a counterfactual, an epidemiological research method which compares a factual outcome, i.e. the implementation of the soft drinks industry levy, against an outcome that is assumed would have been observed but for the factual outcome, but did not in fact occur, i.e. is counter to the factual outcome, in this case that the soft drinks industry levy was not implemented. Thus, the analysis in the present study compared two scenarios: the factual scenario, which is observed data trends in childhood overweight and obesity before and after announcement and implementation of the soft drinks industry levy, and the counterfactual scenario, which estimated trends in childhood overweight and obesity had the soft drinks industry levy not been announced and implemented based on the pre-announcement and implementation data trends. The entire time series of the study covered trends in childhood overweight obesity from September 2013 to November 2019. The study analysis used three specific time series interruption dates to create the counterfactual scenarios. The primary analysis was a counterfactual comparing childhood overweight obesity trends before and after a time series interruption date of March 2016. Corresponding to the announcement of the soft drinks industry levy. A sensitivity analysis, which was a counterfactual comparing childhood overweight obesity trends before and after a time series interruption date of November 2016, corresponding to the beginning of industry reformulation of sugar-sweetened beverages. And a second sensitivity analysis, which was a counterfactual comparing childhood overweight obesity trends before and after a time series interruption date of April 2018, corresponding to the date of statutory implementation of the soft drinks industry levy. Geekbox, Interrupted Time Series Analysis. Interrupted Time Series Analysis, or ITS, is a method used in epidemiology to evaluate the effect of population-wide public health interventions. Breaking down the name may help to understand what this analysis is evaluating. Imagine there is a public health policy that came into place in January 2022. This policy is the, quote, interruption from the previous status quo. And let's say we were interested in the effect of the intervention 1 year later. We could establish a time series of 1 year prior to the intervention and 1 year post-intervention. It is important to note that this type of analysis is not looking at individual level effects and averages or means calculated from individual level effects, as would be done in a randomized controlled trial, for example, measuring every participant's cholesterol levels, or in a prospective cohort study, for example, assessing every participant's diet with a food frequency questionnaire. Rather, ITS is specifically looking at population level effects. For example, does the introduction of a vaccine reduce prevalence and incidence of a disease in the population compared to before? While this is a strength of ITS, it also opens the limitations of this analytical approach unless other methods are considered in the analysis. A good ITS analysis compares a population who received an intervention to a population that did not receive it, which can be the same population compared before and after an intervention was introduced. This allows for the framing of what is known as a counterfactual scenario, which describes the effect of an exposure on an outcome contrasting two potential outcomes. For example, the effect of a vaccine on a disease can be contrasted between those who received the vaccine and those who did not. It is not possible for someone to have had both outcomes. In effect, the counterfactual scenario estimates what would have happened in the absence of the intervention. This allows for effective use of ITS analysis to compare trends in the exposure-outcome relationship of interest in the group exposed to an intervention compared to the counterfactual situation. Results. Irrespective of sex and age of included school children, the highest prevalence of obesity was observed in areas with the highest social deprivation level. Prevalence of obesity was higher in year 6 pupils, 10 to 11-year-olds, compared to reception class, 4 to 5-year-olds. The primary analysis in year 6, 10 to 11-year-old school children. Compared to the counterfactual scenario of no soft drinks industry levy announcement or implementation, there was a relative reduction of obesity prevalence overall in 10 to 11-year-old school children of 3.6% and a confidence intervals range of 1.2 to 5.9%, corresponding to an absolute reduction of 0.8% and confidence intervals from 0.3 to 1.3%. This effect was greatest in children from the most socially deprived areas, a relative reduction of 4.1% and range of 1.8 to 6.3% in the most socially deprived areas, and 5.5% with a range of 3.3 to 7.7% in the second most socially deprived areas. Sex differences were also noted, and the reduction in obesity prevalence was only significant in 10 to 11-year-old girls, but not boys. In girls, there was a relative reduction of obesity prevalence of 8% and a confidence intervals range of 5.4 to 10.5%. The greatest reduction was also observed in girls from the lowest two quintiles of social deprivation. Conversely, 10 to 11-year-old boys in the least deprived areas showed a significant increased obesity prevalence of 10.1% and a confidence intervals range of 4.3 to 15.9%. Primary analysis in reception age 4 to 5-year-old children. Compared to the counterfactual scenario of no soft drinks industry levy announcement or implementation, there was no significant reduction of obesity prevalence in overall 4 to 5-year-old school children. However, analysis by social deprivation level indicated the prevalence of obesity increased by 10% and a confidence intervals range of 2.2 to 17.9% compared to the counterfactual in 4 to 5-year-old school children from the least deprived areas. This observation was significant in both boys with an increased obesity prevalence of 9.7% and range of 2 to 17.4% from the least deprived areas, as well as girls from the least deprived areas, with an increased obesity prevalence of 10.8% and range of 0.1 to 21.5%. Sensitivity analyses. In the first sensitivity analysis, which considered the interruption point as the date at which reformulation began in November 2016, the results were consistent with the findings of the primary analysis outlined above. In the second sensitivity analysis, which considered the interruption point as the date at which the policy was implemented as statutory law in April 2018, however, significant reductions in obesity prevalence in either overall 4 to 5-year-old or 10 to 11-year-old boys or girls were no longer observed. In fact, this sensitivity analysis indicated that obesity prevalence in 4 to 5-year-old school children increased by 7.1% and a range of 0.8 to 13.4%, which was similar in terms of relative increase in both boys and girls. The critical breakdown. The study was pre-registered and the study protocol was published in advance of the analysis. The National Child Management Program is a comprehensive national program that is highly powered with around 1 million participating children and participation rates of over 90% of eligible school children. The analysis specifically factored in social deprivation index to determine whether the impact of the, quote, sugar tax varied by social deprivation level. Further, because the date of announcement of the soft drinks industry levy, the beginning of industry reformulation of sugar-sweetened beverages, and the statutory date of implementation of the soft drinks industry levy differed across the period of analysis, the study conducted distinct time series interruption analyses based on each relevant respective date. Cons. The soft drinks industry levy was legally implemented in April 2018, and the follow-up period of the study was curtailed due to the UK leaving the European Union in December 2019 and the subsequent national COVID-19 lockdown of March 2020. Thus, the data for the sensitivity analysis from the implementation date is very short-term, and the divergent findings may be a false positive due to the lack of adequate data for a more robust counterfactual comparison. Conversely, as the authors note, it could be that the reformulation of sugar-sweetened beverages had already largely occurred, such that observed changes in prevalence of obesity were no longer evident. The analysis is based on national-level data, and it is not possible to distinguish whether the effects of the soft drinks industry levy may be greater in, for example, urban compared to rural regions. Key characteristic. The key characteristic of the present study is the specific stratification of the analysis according to quintiles or fifths of social deprivation. This is crucial in any analysis of public health nutrition policy, given the exposure to unhealthy food advertising in children may be greater in children from lower socioeconomic status. And we have evidence that children are responsive to unhealthy food advertising, with an increased likelihood of choosing unhealthy foods and beverages in response to marketing of such foods and beverages. Given that A, children are responsive to unhealthy food marketing, and B, children from lower socioeconomic status areas have greater exposure to unhealthy food marketing, the combination of these factors is why public health policy focused on individual behavior change disproportionately disadvantages those from less advantaged backgrounds. The latter point is important because one of the main hesitations for the sugar tax was that it would disproportionately financially impact the most disadvantaged in society. And this leads us to the interesting finding of the present study. Interesting finding. As noted above, there were fears that introducing a sugar tax had potential for such a levy to disproportionately affect more socially disadvantaged population groups. However, this was in fact addressed in the terms of the soft drinks industry levy policy itself, which was a tax on industry, not one passed on to the individual consumer through higher product prices, which has been the approach in Mexico and the United States. Given the financial implications of the sugar tax were not passed on to consumers, the next relevant question was whether a broad population-based approach would result in meaningful differences in higher-risk populations, which for obesity risk corresponds to more socially deprived population groups. The data from the present study clearly showed that the greatest overall difference in obesity prevalence was observed in children from the lowest two quintiles of social deprivation. This is important data, providing evidence that the benefits of whole population upstream approaches reach and positively impact vulnerable population groups. Relevance. The evidence accumulating in relation to the soft drinks industry levy in the UK continues to highlight the positive impact of this legislation. The soft drinks industry levy levied a charge of 18 pence per litre on sugar sweetened beverages containing between 5 to 8 grams of sugar per 100 ml and 24 pence per litre on drinks containing over 8 grams per 100 ml. The food industry could avoid such taxes altogether if their product contained less than 5 grams per 100 ml. The fact that the food industry had 2 years prior to the soft drinks industry levy being statutorily implemented in April 2018 provided a grace period for industry to begin to reformulate products. This has been overwhelmingly successful, with the percentage of drinks on the market with over 5 grams per 100 ml of sugar fell from 49 to 15% between September 2015 and February 2019. The present analysis adds to this literature by indicating that in children, particularly older children of 10 to 11 years, the announcement of the tax and the period of reformulation were associated with declining relative and absolute prevalence rates of obesity. This evidence sits within a long-standing debate within public health as to whether whole population or subgroup targeted strategies are more efficacious. The merits of a population-based approach or targeted strategy depend on the influence of specific risk factors which differ by disease. For obesity and related cardiometabolic risk, we know that risk factors include socioeconomic status, ethnicity, urbanization, food access, and nutrition quality. This underlies the rationale for a population-based approach, in that many factors driving obesity are behavioral and/or environmental in nature, and thus beyond the control of the individual. Application to practice. It is important to note that a counterfactual epidemiological analysis, while attempting to mimic a controlled intervention, remains an associative study, and the observed changes may not entirely reflect the soft drinks industry levy in isolation. And the lack of reduction in obesity observed in the sensitivity analysis with the interruption date of April 2018, the date of statutory implementation, may mean that the effect of the policy had plateaued. Nevertheless, the evidence for the impacts of the soft drinks industry levy, both in terms of reformulated sugar-sweetened beverages and the present study indicating a reduction in childhood obesity prevalence, suggests the upside to encroachments on the economic freedom of the food industry outweigh the cost of inaction. Given that the policy of restricting high-fat sugar salt, or HFSS, food advertising on the Transport for London network also resulted in significant reductions in calories purchased from HFSS foods, we covered this in a previous deep dive, the evidence is now accumulating in favor of upstream interventions to make meaningful differences in the food environment, intake, and diet-related health risks.